And now to bring us the first split sermon, we have a split sermon format today. Now to bring us the first split sermon, Mr. David Judson.
Good afternoon, everyone. And good afternoon to you over the web. A few questions to get started. What does the Spirit of God do? How does it enable us to walk with God? How do we use this power in our lives? How does it transform or change us into something much more than what we are now? What are the qualities that this power of change gives to those that acquire it and use their full potential in the handling of such a precious gift? And why is this so important in the spiritual growth of a child of God? Title for this split sermon is The Gift That Keeps On Giving. We just observed the Spring Holy Days and are now coming near into the Feast of Pentecost tomorrow. The Feast of Pentecost explains many variables of what this time means in our lives as well as for the rest of the world. We, who are called out ones from this society, should understand the joy that lies before us. Our future as children of God is dependent on this most awesome of gifts that emanates both from the Father and Christ Himself. When we have a clear and unadulterated understanding of the promise and the use of God's Spirit, then we can move forward in our personal transformation. Today, I want to encourage you in this explanation of the gift of God's Spirit to help you in your walk with Christ towards the Father. The gift of the Spirit of God comes from the Father. It is given to those whom the Father draws into the body of Christ as He chooses to help, guide, and mold His perfect character into those that accept His invitation to become more than what they are now. This is the opportunity for every baptized member, as well as those that are considering to become baptized, to make full use of this exclusive power that comes from the Father. This is the result of your calling. This is why you are here. And this is your time for final training. We are in a final pivotal point in the time of history that we live in now. Prophecy that is given to us, our understanding of it, is a tool in which Christ warns us to heed the calling that was given to each and every one of us. We have an awesome purpose to fulfill that calling from the Father through His invitation. He wants you to help many others into the joy and fulfillment that can only come from the careful adherence to the law of God, the observance of His holy days, and the transformation of your character and mind into the mind of Christ and that of the Father's. As you yield yourself to Christ, then the Father can help transform you through the gift of God, which is the Holy Spirit. Transformation or change doesn't happen by fiat. It comes by hearing the Word, Scripture, reading of the Word, Scripture, and by doing or practicing the way of God in our lives as best as we understand. Our understanding grows over time and experience through failure, success. This can only be accomplished by and through the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. This is the gift that keeps on giving. As those of us that have been and are being extracted from this world or society, we have an obligation to understand the complete meaning and use of this most powerful resource from our loving and most powerful Father. So let's begin our spiritual beginning. Point one, God's Spirit is given to mankind and is the beginning of our fulfillment of Pentecost. I read from the NET Bible Translation, subsection, An Outpouring of the Spirit, from Joel 2, verses 28 and 29. After all this, I will pour out my Spirit on all kinds of people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your elderly will have revelatory dreams. Your young men will see prophetic visions. Even on male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. This same verse is also repeated in the New Testament for emphasis. Obviously, when something is repeated, then it's very important to consider its implication and significance. Acts 2:17. And in the last days it will be, God says, that I will pour out my Spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Okay, let's now consider the events that took place when this occurred and what its significance means to us and everybody here on earth, past, present, and future. I go back to Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. Now when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a violent wind blowing came from heaven and filled the entire house where they were sitting. And tongues of fire spreading out appeared to them, came to rest on each of them on their heads. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. This was the fulfillment of the promise that God declared from Joel long ago, as well as Christ promised to his people after Christ's resurrection. This miracle of giving of God's Spirit to humanity was the beginning for people of all nations to hear, understand, and obey God more fully and completely. Four commandments in the way that they were meant to be observed. Christ did not leave the people of his time or those in the future alone and devoid of not having a connection with the Father and not have the ability to make their lives better. This miracle of the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to establish his called out ones in his church for their opportunity to become the children of God, future members of the family of God. This becomes the beginning of his church to fulfill the lives of the Father's called out ones. Having the Spirit of God is the conduit that we have with the Godhead. It is the link by which we can have communion with the Father to give us his help in our time of need. It is why it is called the Helper by Jesus the Christ, our loving advocate for each and every one of us, including our children sitting here today. This Holy Spirit of God enables you to be led by him in all our actions and thoughts and deeds. The Spirit is holy simply because it comes from the Father, and it is the gift that keeps on giving. How does one acquire this gift? Turn to Acts 2, verses 38 and 39. Acts 2, 38 and 39. Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." And the response to what the Apostle Peter said to the people that witnessed this great event was this. Verse 41, Acts 2. Acts 2, 41. "So those who accepted his message by Peter were baptized, and that about 3,000 people were added." The miraculous calling of these people and the growth of the Church of God was phenomenal, to say the least. This is the beginning for all who repent and become baptized. The Feast of Pentecost is the reminder we need to understand why the Holy Spirit, that essence of the Godhead, is given to establish his church and all those who are led by this great and precious gift that keeps on giving. Repentance from sin, the breaking of God's law, which was set up and given to mankind by God, is the consistent process by which we change our lives, our attitudes, and our thinking on how we live our lives daily. There is a traditional belief that the law of God was given to the Israelites on the day of Pentecost. It is ironic that the Holy Spirit was given as the helper so that we can fulfill the law more completely. Without it, keeping the law by itself just doesn't cut it. We need God's Spirit to help us become like God. It helps us to complete our walk with the Godhead towards a fulfilling relationship that we desire to have. Sin disrupts our ability to have that relationship with our Father and with our brother Jesus the Christ. This is why, as called out ones, we continue in the things that we were consistently taught to become more than what we are now as the children of God, becoming eternal living members of the family of God. The law of God combines with the Spirit of God together to ensure our success of becoming spirit beings with the Godhead. And the family of God continues to grow in this process. Point two. God's Spirit is essential for our growth in the family of God. We are human and created as such. We are created in the image of God. We aspire to be in the image of God the Father and Christ. We have attitudes of various temperaments and are such to the breakage of the divine law of God. We will always break the law in one form or another, whether deliberately or not. We are always subject to sin and the consequences that that brings upon us when we break the divine law. It is the weakness of humanity, as is brought out in this scripture, Deuteronomy 5, Verse 29. Deuteronomy 5, 29. The lament of God. If only it would be their desire to fear me and obey all my commandments in the future, so that it may go well with them and their descendants forever. As the scripture stated, God acknowledges the weakness of the human mind without the law of God. The law of God is intended to guide people through life better. It is to be thought of continually and acted upon for its safekeeping of those that live it daily. But the knowledge of God, His law, is incomplete without the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to reinforce its purpose in the thoughts and minds of humanity. God's Spirit produces results to those that have it and use it properly. It is God's way of thinking that produces peace of mind, happiness of personal fulfillment, and it gives the desire to have a genuine concern for the welfare of others, and many other attributes that I will hit upon later in this split sermon. Turn now to Luke 10, 27. Luke 10, 27. Most of my scriptures are coming out of the NET Bible translation this afternoon. Okay, Luke 10, 27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Again, repetition. It's repeated for emphasis, as Christ quoted from two Old Testament scriptures. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. In reference, as well as Leviticus 19, verse 18. Leviticus 19, 18, and Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. You cannot observe God's commandments completely without the Holy Spirit to help you express love to the Father. The commandments are a necessary ingredient combined with God's Holy Spirit to observe the divine law of love completely. The commandments express love towards God and love towards mankind. Turn now, 1 John 5, verse 2 and 3. 1 John 5, verses 2 and 3. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. God's Holy Spirit was already working with God's people at that time when the church began. It helps the Church of God to express genuine, godly love towards fellow members and those that are in the society around us. And they do know that we are different and apart, sanctified, because we take on a different attitude to care for others, especially our own in the Church of God, regardless of its affiliations. Christ made the statement that is so true and so direct. Turn now to John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The gift that keeps on giving is God's gift of the Holy Spirit that was presented to His church on Pentecost. And it makes it possible to completely express God's commandments of pure divine love. Love towards His own, love to the rest of the world in their time. The Father is always in the pursuit of taking care of His own through the Holy Spirit. Point three. The Holy Spirit works for us in many ways. And I've got it subdivided in subpoints after this. Turn now to Romans 8, verses 9, 14, and 16. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit in Christ, the Spirit does not belong in him. For all who are led in the Spirit of God are the sons of God. The Spirit itself bears witness to our spirit that we are God's children. What does this mean? God's Spirit identifies us and sanctifies us or sets us apart as followers of Christ, also known as Christians, from the rest of society. The Holy Spirit of God connects with our human spirit and is the conduit of our connection with the Godhead. It enables us to have the close, intimate relationship with the Father and our elder brother, our justifier, Jesus the Messiah. Everything goes back to the Father and to Christ, which is our spiritual guide, and the Holy Spirit is our enabler to the Father and to Christ. The Holy Spirit is a divine power from the Father to His own, the children of God. It is a dynamic power that turned the world upside down when it appeared in people of one mind with the Father, also known as oneness. Turn now to Philippians 2, verse 2. Philippians 2, verse 2. Complete my joy and be of the same mind by having the same love, being united in spirit, and having one purpose. This gift from the Father is a fluid, dynamic power that transforms people into the children of God. This is the primary use of the power of conversion, which is the consistent transformation of our human spirit into the complete version of the Father's Spirit. There are other ways that the Holy Spirit is demonstrated to us in our lives. Subpoint A. The Holy Spirit keeps us in contact with God. As mentioned before, turn now to 1 John 3:24. 1 John 3, verse 24. And the person who keeps His commandments resides in God, and God is in him. Now by this we know that God resides in us, by the Spirit He has given us. God's Spirit works with our mind and is within us at all times. Subpoint B. It gives us the power to comprehend the truth of God as well as have a deeper understanding of His Word and His desire for us. Turn now to John 16, verse 13. John 16, verse 13. This time I'm reading from the Aramaic Bible in plain English. But whenever the Spirit of truth comes, it will lead you into the whole truth. For it will not speak of its own will, but it shall speak whatever it shall hear, and it shall reveal the future to you. That's reiterated in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 13. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 13. God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches everything, especially the deep things of God. After all, who knows everything about a person except that person's own spirit? In the same way, no one has known everything about God except God's Spirit. Now, we didn't receive the Spirit that belongs to the world. Instead, we receive the Spirit that comes from God, so that we could know the things that God has freely given us. We don't speak about these things using teachings that are based on intellectual arguments like people do. Instead, we explain spiritual things to those that have the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God gives us the ability to comprehend the truth from the Godhead. It gives us the ability to have a greater understanding of the Father's will for us and that for the rest of humanity. Without it, we cannot please God, nor can we understand what He is giving us through His Spirit. His Holy Spirit guides us into the precious things that come from the Father. As a personal example, I want to reiterate. When Worldwide was in the process of going into a different direction, there was an article in the Worldwide News at that time. That article was trying to explain the Trinity doctrine to all of us at that time. My mom, my stepfather Don, and myself were sitting around the kitchen table. We had that article laid out, and we were all reading it together. It was a very interesting experience when we were reading this article, because we had the ability to pull apart and dismantle the fables that were being taught at that time. Because every time we came to a subpoint in that huge article that was written in the WN, we had the ability to refute every point that they were making using the scripture. Scripture came to our minds, and to me, that was very amazing to me, that I was having these scriptures coming to mind, remembering what I had been taught since I was 2. It is an awesome, awesome experience. There are so many others. I know a lot of you have so many different experiences similar to this. Subpoint C. The Holy Spirit makes our transformation possible. Let's turn now to Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. Romans 8, 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans, and it who searches our hearts, the mind of the Spirit. I should re-say this. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The power of God works in us to change what we are now into something much more excellent than what we could be without it. Remember, we are in a process of change, a process of, as you would, change of state, like that of water into steam or vapor. or like a caterpillar into a butterfly. And in order to facilitate this process that we go through, we need to renew our mindset within the transformational process by reading scripture combined with the Spirit of God gives us the necessary power to remove sin and the attitudes within us that are contrary to the mind of the Godhead. This is in part of doing our Father's business and fulfilling His desire for us to become like He is. Turn now to Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. Subpoint D, the Holy Spirit convinces our mind in that we need to see sin for what it is. Turn now to John 16, 7 and 8, verses 7 and 8. John 16, verses 7 and 8. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I am going away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send it to you. And when it comes, it will prove the world wrong concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. God's Holy Spirit would be given to His followers after Christ's own death, and that it would work with our minds to recognize sin and avoid it with its consequences. The guilt that we experience as a result of the recognition of our sin within us, and it prompts us to change in both our attitude as well as our life moving forward. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to have the desire to change. Subpoint E. The Holy Spirit also produces lasting results in our lives. As we accumulate godly patterns of change, fruit, if you would, we are more spiritually mature in our outlook, and this is most pleasing to the Father as well as to Christ. As we mature, we begin to take on the divine nature of the Godhead. Or in other words, we begin to be, think, and act like God in every way. What are some of the fruits of God's Spirit? This is what the Apostle Paul wrote for our understanding. Turn now to Galatians 5, verses 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us behave in accordance with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, being jealous of one another. Another scripture confirms our process of growth in full spiritual maturity and is given from the Apostle Peter. and it is so eloquently and perfectly written. Let's now turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3 through 8. 1 Peter 2, verses 3 through 8. I can pray this because His divine power has bestowed on us everything necessary for life and godliness through the rich knowledge of the One who called us by His own glory and excellence. Through these things He bestowed on us His precious and most magnificent promises, so that by means of what was promised, you may become partakers of the divine nature, after escaping the worldly corruption that is produced by evil desire. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith excellence. To excellence, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly affection. To brotherly affection, unselfish love. For if these things are really yours, and you are continually increasing in them, they will keep you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in your pursuit of knowing our Lord Jesus Christ more intimately. Subpoint F. My last. The Holy Spirit comforts us, encourages us, and helps us in various and many ways. Again, as mentioned in John 14:16, Christ promised His followers a helper and or a comforter to us. The Holy Spirit reassures us and gives us the peace of mind to those that love God no matter what happens in our lives. Please turn to Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called to God for His purpose. I want to reiterate another personal example. Several decades ago, for I was baptized in 1981, my minister at that time, I was a student in college at the University of Arizona in Tucson. Mr. Larry Neff was my minister at that point in time in Tucson. He called me and challenged me to start considering to prepare myself for baptism. I hadn't even thought about it. I was so engrossed in trying to get through college, get it out of the way so I can move forward with my life. I was so focused, I didn't think about baptism at that time. But I'm glad he prodded me, pushed me into doing so. So grateful to Mr. Neff for doing that for me. And I've always kept in contact with him over the years. Nevertheless, after my first personal visit, I put on my prayer list a special request. I asked God to help me find an outside source to help me prove what I already know and had grown up with in the knowledge of the church since I was 2. One night, I was in a deep sleep. Then I was suddenly awakened after I had a dream. I dreamt about a book. I remember 3 colors: gold, black, and white. And I remembered three words: Babylon, mystery, religion. That's all I remembered. I was convinced immediately after I woke up. I knew where it came from. I had no doubt. I knew that it was an answer to my prayer. So I let it go. I kept it in the back. I was still going to classes. Then after one day, I was coming home. I just happened to stop by in a bookstore after I had my classes for the day. And I went in the bookstore, looked all over. And then I saw a book spline that looked kind of interesting to me. I saw, pulled out the book, and I turned to the cover, and there was the book that I had dreamt about. Title of the book: Babylon, Mystery Religion, Ancient and Modern, by Ralph Woodrow. I wrote the date that I had that dream, February 22nd, 1980. The book was published in 1966. Once I saw the cover of the book, it had the exact title: Babylon, Mystery, Religion, in gold, black, and white. This is the first book that I've added to in my book collection. Since that point in time, I have been led and drawn to books for outside source material to prove what we know, to bolster what we know. And God's Spirit does that for us. I've traveled all over throughout the world. I've gone into out-of-the-way bookstores, and I've found books. It's very interesting. I'm convinced in my conviction in Christ through God's Spirit has led me to get these sources so I can read them, and they all collaborate one another. There's a time I was in Scotland in Stirling. I just happened to be walking in the city. There was a staircase leading down, and it was at a used bookstore. Very inordinary. I walked in there, looked around. I found the book, The Two Babylons, by the Reverend Islop. He is a Scot. And he wrote the book from Scotland. And that is the very same book that Mr. Armstrong reiterated to the people in the 50s and 60s and convinced many brethren to search and read and study and find these sources to corroborate and to solidify our conviction. God's Holy Spirit is an effective, sure power that gives us what we need when we need it. It supplements our needs and comes from the Father himself. It supports us in various and many ways to help us have an effective, personal, close, and intimate relationship with the Godhead. Many have had similar experiences, and these experiences are very different as well, but they lead people to the Father. They lead people to Christ. They lead people to truth. We are people of truth. That's why we get reinforcement. That's why we assemble ourselves Sabbath after Sabbath on every holy day, to reinforce what have been taught to us by others previously. It blows my mind when I hear stories of how God interacts in our lives. And it is because of this, His loving embrace through God's Holy Spirit, that we are able to move forward in our walk with the Godhead towards our completed transformation to becoming a spirit being as both Christ and the Father are. Once this transformation is completed, then we shall finally see God and Christ as they are and be one in the family of God. Brethren, children, everyone, I cannot say it any clearer than this, and that is, the Holy Spirit that has been given to us as the Father's down payment towards our walk with Christ is the most awesome and precious, as well as the gift that keeps giving.